Cat and Gill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill.
Check it out, John.
800-998-1003. Way to chime into the conversation. Coming up, Ireland favorite at 2:15. We'll talk about Trevor Penning. Leo Haggerty. We'll chime in with him here as well. Any thoughts on the Kentucky Derby for those of y'all that are interested? The old trifecta box. Rafael Esparza at 1:15 gave me Catching Freedom. It's the Louisiana Derby winner, by the way. Just a Touch and Forever Young, a Japanese horse. And if you're looking for something for the Oaks, Torpedo Anna. So those are the names if you're into the horse racing thing. Catching Freedom, Just a Touch, Forever Young for that trifecta box. We can get into that here as well. Got a lot to talk about. Saints did not pick up the fifth-year option for Peyton Turner. And in the world of the NBA, Darvin Ham is out.
It's Friday.
As the Lakers head coach. Gotta love when you watch the TV here and you see Woj. I got fresh Woj sound here from when he was on SportsCenter. We'll listen to it in a second. Led the Lakers to 2 play-in wins the last 2 seasons. And don't forget that in-season tournament title. They hung a banner. They literally hung a banner. There you go. He was in the Pelicans locker room. Well, not the Pels locker room, the visiting locker room. Famously, after they had peaced out the Pels, and they said, hey, we want all that smoke. And then they lost in 5 games to the Nuggets. In that series, the Lakers led every single game at halftime. Direct difference and opposite from the Pels. What are they? 4-24, I think Todd said. The Pels were not leading after halftime. Basically, if they led at halftime, they won. If they weren't leading going into halftime, they only won 4 times. That's something else to talk about here in the all season here as well. 800-998-1003 is the way to chime into the conversation on the Ruderman Can caller and guest line. Can't wait to hear from you here as well, Saints fans. We've talked with Ross Jackson, Ralph Marlborough as well, talking about the Saints not offering Peyton Turner that fifth-year extension. I think that makes sense, right? I hope he plays well. I hope he's healthy. It's about health with him, not talent when it comes to that. We spoke with Will Guillory as well on the show about the Pelicans, and he presented an interesting thing. I said, hey, say you happen to bump in to David Griffin. Puts his arm around you and goes, buddy, old pal, thanks for all the work you do. What do you think we should do? What is the number one thing you think you should do? I was expecting development, play Jordan Hawkins, point guard. Will went, you got to figure out your center position. And he actually said you got to remake the entire center room. He cited the series against the Thunder. But he also cited, keep in mind, and this is a good point. I really haven't heard a lot of people kind of go this way or talk about it, but he brings up a great point. What does the Western Conference have right now that's solid, right? I mean, look, scoring, point guard play, you see what Anthony Edwards can do. Even David Griffin said, hey, look, you look at Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he's a shooting point guard or scoring point guard, which I'm like, yes, please, I'll take one. All of that. Anyway, in ball handling, that's clear. But he said center, and I didn't really think about it until he said it. And, man, that makes a lot of sense. You could almost say that's a bigger need. Because he cited the up-and-coming Victor Wembanyama, who was blocking everything at the rim and scoring 20, 30-point games. He mentioned Chet Holmgren. We saw his impact. 3-point shooting, blocking shots at the rim, including Trey Murphy. Yes, he was fouled, but you get my point. Just breathe. I know it sounds sacrilegious or may turn your stomach on a Friday and you're trying to have a good weekend. But as much as we can't stand the guy, because that's all, folks, when he's healthy, Anthony Davis is a very good player. He doesn't like the physical. I hear you. He blocks shots. He's not bad on defense. He rebounds the ball, and he can score. I saw some people this week that cover the Pels. If LaBoubou left, if the Lakers decide we're moving on, would you try to go get Anthony Davis back? I can't say I wouldn't blame him. I'm just saying. The guy can score 30 points. The guy can block shots. Gus, he's always injured. Him and Zion, I get it. Great. It'll be the all-injured team. Look, Kawhi Leonard's not playing. Giannis didn't play. Injuries happen. I'm just saying, I could understand that. But the point being to Will's conversation here, that is a big, that affects you, right, in the Western Conference. If he stays in L.A., that team lived in your paint. Wembanyama, Chet Holmgren, Jokic. Well, he's always in the perimeter. He's still big in the middle. And they got a lot of size there as well. I didn't think about this until Will Guillory brought it up. But, man, I tell you what, you better go. I hear what he's saying. I almost feel like that is the priority. Gulp over a point guard. Because you not only have to think of the teams that you play this year that have it, but are up and coming, but also the teams that don't, it could be the kryptonite. It's something you could use. Phoenix doesn't have that. The Clippers don't have that. They might look like a different team as well. If Paul George leaves, there's a lot of speculation. He's a free agent. He's not going to stay with the Clippers. And they play tonight against the Mavericks. So when you look at it, I really didn't think about this. Now, who is that? How do you go get that? I saw Schmidt and a couple of other people. Fletcher was in there this morning kind of tweeting in as well, making a trade and a move to try to get to the second or third pick, and there are some bigs up there that could be your next Chet Holmgren. So that's something we'll keep an eye on here as we get closer to the draft in June and what they're going to do. And remember, one of the things why the Lakers thing is important, look, I kind of have fun with it. Well, we have to, you know, interrupt every segment to give you the latest LeBron update and all that. But here's the thing. The Pelicans do own the 17th pick of the draft if they want it. That is the Laker draft pick. Now, the Pels have until June 1st to say we're going to keep it or we will defer it and get the Lakers' first-round pick in 2025. But it's just something to keep an eye on and something to kind of to think about. But Adrian Wojnarowski was asked, when was the decision to fire Darvin Ham 8?
This was a decision essentially made days ago, if not late in the season, once the Lakers did not advance past Denver, lost in five games. Darvin Ham was essentially finished as Lakers coach, despite the fact 90-74 in 2 years, went to the Western Conference Finals last year and then won more games in the regular season this year with 47 games, but twice ran into the defending champions, the Nuggets. And listen, this is one of the most difficult seats in all of professional sports. Judgment is harsh in that chair. Darvin Ham was brought to the Lakers to bring order, to bring structure, and advanced to two postseasons. And again, a Western Finals, two in-season, two play-in tournament victories. But ultimately, you know, the Lakers are going to make another coaching change.
So you go. The key, is this what LeBron wanted?
I don't think this was a LeBron James decision or issue. Now, listen, any star player with any organization can speak up and say, hey, this is the coach I want. I want him to be here. That's true, not just with the Lakers, but anywhere. You seldom hear that anymore in the NBA. Listen, Rob Pelinka, Jeannie Buss, you know, they have, you look back to Frank Vogel, that was not a LeBron James hire. And certainly Darvin Ham was a coach that initially there was a lot of optimism around that relationship. But certainly this is a situation where I think the Lakers, they thought that they had better talent than the results produced. There's some certainly who might disagree with that, but they made the decision on Darvin Ham.
All right, so there you go. As far as who will be the next head coach?
That Laker job is open, and they'll start identifying candidates. You could expect names like Mike Budenholzer, who won a championship in Milwaukee, perhaps the most accomplished coach available on the market. And certainly there will be other candidates. The Lakers are still the Lakers, and they have the opportunity this summer to really improve this team. They've got three picks that they can use in trades. And, you know, Darvin Ham, his successor, will be the beneficiary of what's expected to be a summer where the Lakers can really upgrade this roster around Anthony Davis and presumably if and when they sign him back, of course, LeBron James.
That's right. He is a free agent if he opts out of that, which is he expected to do so as well. West Bank Rick, man, as always, appreciate you giving us a call here in the Rudiman Can caller and guest hotline. How are you today?
A little bit busy. Got to run later on after work and go coach a game, my first game.
There you go.
7:30. I was thinking about the same thing. They calling me wondering if we plan it then, and the sun is coming out. So.
Oh, there you go. That's good.
And good luck to you on your game today. The first thing I want to find out is what a foul is going to look like next year, because I was really confused this whole season if a foul was a foul, and it was frustrating. So, and you saw my face most of the time. I was like, okay, I don't even know what the game. I'm just watching this entertainment right now. Okay. But we're going to lose some players this year, and I want to know what that salary cap for the Pelicans, does it drop? I'm thinking it might drop, but then how many more viable players that we're going to be able to pick up that'll be efficient to work with the Pelicans? So now we're going to lose maybe Najee, JV, and I can't think of somebody else. So we'll see what next year looks like. I think I only got a one-year deal that came off the Matt Ryan.
Right.
So I don't know how long that deal is. So
yeah,
we'll see how they do the signing for next year.
I was mentioning a little bit here in this segment here, something that Fletcher and Schmidt were tweeting to each other here during the morning as well. And they were talking about just possibilities and where to go get and everything. And Alex Saar is a name that Fletcher brought up. And on NBADraft.net, they got him going fifth to San Antonio. He's 7'1", 205, center out of France. Man, getting a big like that would be something. I don't know if I want him with Wembanyama. Jeez, can you imagine 7'5" with another 7'1" in there? And I think the main reasons you're seeing that, I heard a lot of people in the last 2 weeks nationally NBA talk about adding something like that, not only to Wembanyama, but to Anthony Davis specifically, to let him go roam and go be a defender and do those things and not
right.
be a rim protector. And that's kind of the thing, too. And that's why I'm saying, as strange as because I think you're with me, right? Get a ball handler, get a point guard and all that. But listening to Will make the case of, Gus, look at the Western Conference.
Yeah.
Look what's coming.
I was listening to.
Yeah. Dude,
I was listening to Will earlier as I saw that. I heard that and I said, I started rethinking. And I was like, well, AD was a point guard. We had a big man that used to play point, just got bigger. Just imagine if people like me didn't have so much grief about hearing that name that we would probably want a player like him back. So.
Right. No, 100%. That's what I'm saying. But I think that's the thing that Will said it brought up makes a lot of sense, man. I almost wonder if that needs to be the number one priority in this team, you know, and go get somebody.
Well, Gus, I don't want to hold you up because it's about to get noisy where I'm at. Oh, I'm doing the birthday bashing.
I love it.
Take it easy. Flock up.
It, man. Thank you so much, man. Flock up as well. Appreciate the phone call. Quick break when we come back. We will talk with Marlon Favorite and see what he has to say. Specifically about an LSU player that is going to make my life miserable. Not him, but just the team that he went to because he's already texting me. You know who. We'll talk about that next on ESPN New Orleans.
And we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
As always, appreciate the time, Mr. Marlon Favorite. Epic Faye 504, what a busy, busy man he is. You can listen to Inside the Trenches, the podcast, and the show live each and every day right here, 6 to 8 o'clock. What's up, sir? How are you?
Man, all is well, Goose. We're off tonight with the show because we have some obligations with the high school sports down there in La Rose. Mm-hmm. But so we just We just did a show here at Smalls. We just did a quick remote. Talked a little bit about not only the Saints' current roster, but also LSU.
One of the things that I want to see move forward is obviously guys from LSU maybe sign with teams that don't give me headaches, like Roy's Miami Dolphins, because Odell Beckham Jr. is going there for a one-year deal, man. What about Beckham Jr., man, heading over to Miami being a Finn?
I like the move for him because the injuries has plagued him towards this tail end of his career. So for him to still, through the storm, remain physically fit, I think he goes to an elite receiving core in terms of speed. But you can use I kind of put Odell Beckham, I think you might feel this, he's kind of your veteran-like Michael Thomas, but probably run a little smoother route, course a little faster. He has that type of value to a team. You get where I'm going with this?
Yeah, no, I understand. I kind of see what you're saying there as well. Speaking of value on a team, man, the Saints didn't pick up the fifth-year player option on Peyton Turner. I think we can understand that, right? Not being available, being injured, and kind of want to see what he's going to be this season here as well. But a first-round pick, you want value out of that first-round pick. Trevor Penning is a first-round pick. You said you've had discussions this week specifically about him and wanted to kind of address where you think he's going to go when it comes to perhaps foundationally and just kind of grow as a player. What do you think, man?
Well, man, having Cam on the show earlier, with Cam Jordan, he had finally said what we've been thinking for a while. Like me and CL and Joe have been quoted on this show a number of times talking about how we think it's a better idea to move Trevor Penning on the inside. And when Cam said that, I almost dropped the mic because it makes sense. I mean, it's aggressive as he plays. He's a tall player, what, 6'6", 6'7". He has the height, but how aggressive he plays is better to put a player like that at guard. Whereas Talis Fuaga, he's a lot more athletic, right? And he gives you a different look there. Now, here's the interesting part. This is what really got me, Gus, because we've thrown all these names around over the past 3 months trying to see what's going to go on. Cam mentioned Landon Young. He was like, yeah, we can bump Landon Young to tackle. Like, he didn't say, oh, we'll still have to go search for that guy. He legit said Landon is a capable guy. And it just, you know, they drafted him, what, in 2021, their sixth-round pick, if I'm not mistaken. And he's just always been that, you know, that type of player.
How hard is it, I guess, to – look, obviously, when you develop as a player, Marlon, I would almost kind of use – what I want to use with you here as well. Look, you come out of high school, and there's a transition between high school and college, right? And maybe you've had, obviously, success if a Power 5 conference, a Power 4, whatever you want to call them now, kind of, you know, bring you in, right? You're a 4-chipper, 5-star, whatever it is you want to call it. But then you don't have that success. I guess what I'm trying to get at is, can Penning still be a productive? How much of that is a mental thing? How much of that is a physical thing? And how much of that is just, hey, don't lose kind of faith and hope on that, even though we just started the conversation by talking about Peyton Turner, who's now going into his fifth year. You understand what I'm getting at? Like, how much hope is there that Turner can become what you thought he was as a first-round pick?
Now, when you talk about Peyton Turner, he could be – I was going to say Marcus Davenport type situation, but the injuries plagued this kid a lot more. Like, Marcus Davenport dealt with his injuries and all of that stuff. But for this kid, it's just so tough because the previous tape, right, you got – how could I say this? We don't believe you. You need more people. In the words of Jay-Z, what I mean by that is he just didn't put enough. He didn't put enough out in college, and or enough. He don't have enough skins on the wall of production. on the professional level yet, if you get what I'm saying. So it's kind of hard to say. They just got to count their loss, right? You know, even with Trevor Penning, we see the potential. Move him to guard. You know, if he plays aggressive, let him maul in the middle. And let's move our athletic guys on the edge. So just looking at the team right now, let's say Landon Young, Cesar Ruiz, Colt McCoy. I mean, Eric McCoy. I said Colt McCoy. Eric McCoy, Trevor Penning, Talese Fuagu. That looks more appropriate than trying to force a guy on the edge. In the case of Peyton Turner, where can we put him? We can't move him into the interior line. So, I mean, this is just legit a make-or-break year. He's going to have a Carl Granison-type year for us to even have a conversation on how they can make it work with him.
Yeah, I think you are hoping, obviously, you want to see that to happen, right? I mean, into all of that. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to kind of see how much those developments are. Look, one of the storylines I have early, as I was talking to some guys this week, Marlon, as OTAs is 2 weeks away, that first week of OTA, for me is how many veterans are there? Like, obviously, that's a situation where he's got to be there, right, if he's healthy. Like, if you're healthy on that offensive side of the football with a whole new staff, you're going to be there. I'm curious if Alvin Kamara is going to be there.
Me too, man. The Alvin Kamara mystery continues because he just didn't look too happy last season, Gus. And I know we can't really count any eggs for the hatch with this season, but I'm hoping, you know, bringing in a Clint Kubiak could kind of, you know, recharge Alvin's, you know, enthusiasm here. I was just talking on the show about how this, I think this was Drew Brees' last year, so this might have been Eric McCoy's first year. Boy, these years are just running into each other, right? And I remember Drew Brees just threw a little soft pass to the flat, and Alvin Kamara who gets Green Bay, runs up the field, and Eric McCoy comes, lays a nice block, and Alvin does the Alvin Kamara thing, right, cutting between guys and make big plays. He just didn't seem motivated. So him not showing up to OTAs wouldn't be a good sign in terms of motivation. But I'm hoping, you know, with Coach Dennis Allen bringing in a new staff, bringing in some fresh ideas, mm-hmm. some fresh faces, you know, this guy saw success, Gus, out there in San Francisco. So hopefully that'll rejuvenate Alvin and give him a stellar career year.
Yeah. Well, let's see what takes place. Obviously, I say it's around the corner. And really, I mean, I don't know where April went. And I'm sitting here, it's already May 3rd. My kid's planning a May 4th, May the 4th be with you party, Cinco de Mayo the 5th. Mother's Day is next weekend on next Sunday. Marlon, and dude, 21 days. My kid's got 3 weeks of school left. I'm not even ready for summer. What just happened? And in that time, you're going to have 4 weeks of OTAs. You're going to have mini camp. And then right after that, early mid-June, it's 7 weeks, and then it's the start of training camp. I mean, I know it's some time, but it really isn't. And you know what I'm talking about as a parent. I'm like, but you got to plan the vacation. The summer camps are here. I only got 3 weeks left of school, and then my life has changed. I mean, it's right around the corner.
It is right there, Gus. I'm telling you, bro. I looked up and I'm like, wait, hold on. Like, Marlon came up to me and was like, Dad, I'm going to be out of school. And I'm like, wait, when? I mean, when is this Christmas? Like, what's going on?
You said when? When? Please give me the date. I need to know when that's happening. One of the things I did want to bring up to you quickly, we got about 2 minutes here. CBSSports.com put up a story that more bowl games, not less, is something that they're looking into. And the main reason, I didn't really think about this, but bowls to consider revenue sharing to curb opt-outs. And a lot of this because, as you saw last year, you know, with Florida State, that over 30 players opt out. And then you have now 12 teams, and likely by 2026, you're going to see 16 teams, Marlon, it looks like. And that means those bowl games are different, sort of being taken away. So a lot of people kind of are saying, hey, give us more bowl games. At least per the article, 78 players opted out of bowl games last season, and 431 players enter the transfer portal before their postseason games. That's a lot of players and a lot of teams that didn't have their players to compete. I'm curious to what you think to that, in that the NCAA and a lot of the schools are saying we need more bowl games for that, but when you hear almost 500 kids enter the transfer portal and then all of them opt out because they're transferring, I don't even know how you can play the bowl games you got.
Right, it's ridiculous. And, of course, like the Florida State thing, right, like all those players, like, you know, we're not playing that bowl game. It's tough. The revenue share, because it's not going to be there, Gus. If your superstars aren't playing there, nobody's going to want to put up any major money. So to figure out a way to neutralize that and maybe put that in a better position, that's going to be huge, because adding more bowl games, it just seems crazy given the fact that we've already added more playoff games plus the bowl games that are already there. I don't know what they're going to might have called it, the Small Sliders Bowl. I don't know. We've got to come up with names. The Rely Quest Bowl. There's just so many different bowls. Dude. But I understand.
Well, right now you have 42. 42 bowl games.
That's a lot.
That is a lot, and I promise you I probably can't mention more than 10, to be honest with you. So, I mean, it's a lot. Marlon, as always, man, appreciate it. Have a great weekend, sir. We'll talk soon next week.
Enjoy the weekend. Hello.
For sure. When we come back, Leo Haggerty will join us here as well. We'll ask him a little derby talk and everything, but I just wanted to post this before we go to break, buddy, as Malika Andrews had Adrian Wojnarowski on NBA Today just now. Could Ty Lue be the next head coach of the Lakers? If you're just joining us, you don't know what I'm talking about. They have parted ways with Darvin Ham after two seasons.
Of course, this did happen, Woj, in the last hour. But who are the Lakers' early targets here? Because as Austin mentioned, Ty Lue's name is already out there. How realistic is that?
Malika, I don't believe it's realistic based on this. Ty Lue still has a year left on his contract. And the Clippers are determined to do a long-term deal with Ty Lue, I'm told. You know, they want him to be their coach for a very long time. And so, listen, that's a conversation that will happen after the playoffs are over. But they love the job he did this season. They love the job that he's done there. This is an organization that, by all indications, however this series ends up, wants to re-sign Paul George, James Harden, try to improve that roster around those two, of course, and Kawhi Leonard, and that Ty Lue will still be the coach for them. Of course, the Lakers, you know, they offered the job to Ty Lue back before Frank Vogel got it. They couldn't come to terms on a deal. And so you start to look out in the marketplace. Mike Budenholzer is probably the most accomplished coach available, won a championship in Milwaukee, you know, rebuilt, was also coach of the year in Atlanta. And listen, it always isn't going to necessarily be big game hunting when it comes to Laker head coaches. You know, you may see other, you know, candidates who've had success as head coaches, a Kenny Atkinson, a James Borrego, coaches of that ilk certainly, you know, could be part of this conversation.
I wanted to play that specifically there at the end. James Borrego, the lead offensive coach on the Pelicans staff. Something to think about. Quick break. When we come back, Leo Haggerty. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
The man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Hour one is brought to you by No Wake Outfitters. Hour two is presented by Chris's Paving, chrispaving.com, NoWakeOutfitters.com. Hour three, Leo Haggerty. Pick your favorite antacid, maybe, I guess. I don't know. Do you get nervous during the derby? Do you like the ponies? Do you like horse racing? Is that one of those where you make sure you're somewhere around the TV around 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon?
Yeah, it's pretty much must-see, especially if that's, we maybe have a little bit of a mutter tomorrow. You know, they're talking 50% chance of rain down in Lexington, and that always makes for an interesting race.
So you tell me, sir, what do you look at here? We talked to Rafael Esparza a little bit ago, our little odds maker, and he said if you like the trifecta box, Catching Freedom, which was the Louisiana Derby winner, Just a Touch, and Forever Young, would be three his three horses. Who do you like, man?
Well, you know, Gus, the chalk looks pretty good. You know, Fierceness, Sierra Leone, and Catching Freedom. You know, that's the after that, those odds get really high. But again, throw that out if it rains, because you never know how these thoroughbreds are going to react when all of a sudden, you know, they're not in the lead and somebody's picking up mud in their face. You know, all of a sudden, I mean, hey, they may pull a Roberto Duran and say no mas. So you don't know. But here's my long shot, Gus. Just Steal, 20-1, starting in the sixth spot. Right in the middle of the track, can get inside, get out of the mud early. I think the problem with Fierceness and those people starting 11 or higher, you're going to have to either go full out to get ahead of the field, or you're going to have to just slide back in, and you're going to get, if it's a wet track, you're going to get just soaked.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's always interesting to see, like, how the track conditions obviously affect so much of that to go into it, man. So I don't know, man. I will say this. I always look at it and then that second race to see if we can get the Triple Crown winner and everything. So it is definitely one of those Saturdays you get ready for. Do you have like watch parties? Do you get dressed up and stuff? Do you wear a nice coat?
Gus, I'd love to lie to you and tell you I do, but, you know, you know, sometimes you got hockey and you can dress up. Sometimes
oh, okay.
You, got
all right, all
right. You know, but, you know, we're just, no hockey tonight. But, you know, just you kind of put on a shirt. Now, if you got friends that make mint juleps and that, now you may look for your lovely lady friend to wear one of those big floppy hats. I'll have to ask Karen if she's interested in that. But, you know, never turn down a Kentucky Derby watch party. I can tell you that right now, because they're always going to be memorable.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I'm for sure. I don't know if we're going to have a Kentucky watch party over here with the guys. It's probably more of an ice chest watch party, if you get my drift.
Uh-huh.
It's just kind of, uh-huh. You know, we're all just kind of yeah, you know, the phone service isn't as good as we would have liked it to be, at least per our wives, if you understand my point.
Absolutely.
What are you doing next Thursday? Because it could be a big day. I'm starting to see it leak, and I'm getting some inside info. Thursday could be the NFL schedule release. How big is that day to you when you actually see the schedule?
Hey, I'll tell you what, the Bucks have a great thing going on down here. They said if you can predict our schedule, you know, who we're going to play in what order, it's going to be like free tickets and that.
Come on.
It's really, yeah. Oh yeah, they got a great thing going here. So probably nobody will be able to do it. I mean, the chances of getting 17 teams in a row, the only thing you know is the last two are probably going to be either the Panthers, the Falcons, or the Saints.
Yeah.
In some order. You just don't know. So, yeah, we know.
Look,
that.
But, obviously,
it's going to be fun.
We always look at you know, the schedule and things of that nature. Look, all four teams in division will play the AFC West and the NFC East, aside from, you know, the other teams that have been added to that schedule here as well. How do you think the Bucks match up with the AFC West?
Not well. I tell you, that's it. You know, you got Mahomes. And you're going to have a healthy Justin Herbert, and you're going to have an interesting coach out there in Harbaugh as to what he wants to do.
Yeah.
The Raiders are always a problem, especially if you got to go there because of the distractions at night. You know, the players tell me that the problem is, you know, you go in and it's hard to get any sleep because it's just crazy out in Vegas. And Denver, if you got to play them away, now you're dealing with altitude. So this is not a good matchup for, I don't think, any team in the NFC South, especially if you got to go to Denver or go to Vegas.
Mm. That's very true. And in the NFC East, how interesting is what you saw, say, perhaps what the Eagles did? I can't shake the feeling. I feel like, man, they added more talent. I mean, they got, like, the top two corners. I mean, it's like I'm just – how? Because I think last year – I just don't see them losing like 8 of the last 10 or whatever it is that they did. You know what I'm saying? And kind of just have this collapse they did. And I think a lot of it is because Jalen Hurts was hurt. And I still think they're a very good team. And they were a team that
could have won the Super Bowl a year before that. Dallas is a 13-win team, you know, for a couple of straight seasons here as well. And I do think I follow Jane Daniels as you do as well. And I think the Commanders are going to be competitive. I don't know about the Giants or what they're going to do, but I don't see in those four game in those eight games, four with the West, four with the East, that's going to be tough for these teams in the NFC South, man.
Oh, absolutely. I'll tell you what, if you can go 4-4, that's pretty much okay. You go 5-3, that's really good. Because, hey, the Eagles are tough, especially at home. Washington's going to be better. And the New York Giants, whether you want to admit it or not, they're going to beat you up. So, you know, you may not lose that one, but the next one, you're going to have a tough time getting people ready. And Dallas is Dallas. Man, oh, man. You know, you never know what you're going to. God forbid you get Dallas on Thanksgiving, right? That you might as well put the L up right now because you're just not going to beat Dallas in Dallas on Thanksgiving. But I couldn't think of better ways to have gone than that. But and how about the Eagles opening up in Brazil? Is that just crazy or what?
That is very strange when you look at as to where teams are going to be going, where they're playing, where they're starting. But I guess there it is. So, look, by the time we talk next Friday, sir, it's going to be fun because I do think we're going to get to know where everybody is. It's the season opener. I don't know. You tell me, who would you like the Bucs to open the season against? Is there somebody specifically you'd like?
Yeah, I'll tell you. Denver at home.
Denver. Okay.
Yeah. Denver at home. And if I have to go on the road, probably I want to go to New York, play the Giants.
Yeah.
How about you? What do you got for the Saints?
Well, I was going to say, it always works here where we look at, you know, wanting the cold games early, right? And
right.
The not the cold games later. So you got Green Bay in there. And so that's kind of one of those things where, especially with me, I'd like to go to that game. But it needs to be in September because once October comes, we got Pell season and all that. But I don't know. I almost feel like, do you want the hardest team or what you perceive to be the hardest team on your schedule earlier in the year rather than later in the year? Like the Chiefs. Like when do you want to play the Chiefs? I'd rather play them September. Me.
I'd rather play them in February because then I know where I'm at.
I see what you're saying there. Okay, I got that. I got that. You know there's going to be a division game early in that first
game. Oh, God,
night.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Well, I want Carolina. I think everybody does.
Early on, okay.
And if you look what they did with their draft, they're, you know, undrafted free agents, man, they got five skill position guys they brought out. You know, and Canales is an offensive guy. Interesting, they signed a quarterback. I got a feeling that Smith, he's going to have to prove himself to Canales because that's what had Baker Mayfield here. You know, they went in and said, okay, let's see if it's, you know, Baker Mayfield or trash. Early on, they decided it was Mayfield. Early on. And it'd be interesting to see what happens in Carolina. But, you know, you always want to play a team early that has a new quarterback and a new coach,
Except
Falcons. That's the scary one.
Yeah, no, like I said, Saints road games, your three division games, Dallas, Green Bay, Kansas City, the Chargers, and the Giants. So your cold ones are really just the Packers and Giants. Everything else is indoors. Well, I guess KC could be cold, obviously, if you go face them later on in the year. And then at home, the Saints will have the Browns, the Broncos, the Raiders, the Rams, the Eagles, and the Commanders. So I just, man, I know teams can be better or worse than what you look at, but on paper, the NFC South, I'm with you, Leo, it might be another 9-10 win division winner, man.
Yeah, not because they're bad. It's because the talent is pretty much divided.
Yeah.
In terms, and it's all going to play on how the football gods of injuries take place. And I'm going to say this on your show right now. They're going to get rid of the ban on the hip drop before November 1st because they are going to see such a rash of knee injuries. Because obviously, someone who has never played the game pass that rule, because if you're coming in from the side on somebody and you can't get your head in front, all you're going to do is grab on and try to fall down and take them down with you. Obviously, no one's played the game who thought about that one, because, you know, it's great to think, all right, they're going to get their head in front and that. That's not going to happen in game day.
All right, sir, we'll close out with this. Who do you like in tonight's NBA games? You got the Magic and Cavaliers in Orlando. Cavs with the win. Move on.
I like the Magic. I think this is going seven. Yeah.
Okay. I like Orlando too, man. And look, it's not over yet, but the Clippers, if they lose tonight, it is over in Dallas. And then all of a sudden everybody's like, where was Paul George going to go? And there's a lot of chatter that he could go to Orlando already. And that I just literally, as I'm scrolling right now, the Jimmy Butler era in Miami looks like it could be coming to a close here as well. So your state is going to have some interesting NBA action here, but what do you like tonight? Do you think Dallas closes out the Clippers?
No. I think the Clippers come back and find a way to get it to game seven. And then it's a coin toss, because you don't know how much Kawhi is going to be able to play tonight. But I'll tell you what, James Harden just put that team on his back game five when they won down, game four when they won down in Dallas. So, yeah, I think and somebody needs to tell Russell Westbrook, you're a passer, not a shooter. You know, just give it up, because no one's guarding him and he can't score. So, yeah, I think the Clippers win. I think the road team wins in the West and the home team wins in the East, and we're going to a game seven. But I'll tell you what, I'm waiting for Oklahoma City and Minnesota, because I tell you, they are on a roll.
Okay, well, let's see what happens. I think that Denver-Minnesota game is going to be a fun one to watch for sure. And I don't know, man. I like Anthony Edwards. I like watching him. I got to be honest with you.
Oh God, he's the real deal. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what, doesn't it amaze you how a slow white guy who can barely get a Hershey bar under his feet is so good in the post,
dude,
for Denver? I mean, the Joker's phenomenal.
The people, and
he gets 20 rebounds the other night. How you get 20 rebounds?
I say this all the time. If you ever get to go to a Nuggets game to just watch, it's not fair. Like it makes no sense how good he is and how fundamentally basketball sound he is on so many different levels at that size. It's crazy. Like you have to see it from a lower bowl level to just remotely understand what you're seeing. It's incredible, you know? As always, Leo, appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend, sir. We'll talk soon.
Hey, have a great weekend, Gus. Hey, drop a deuce on that my long shot. Just steal.
I like that. All right, there it is. There's a little derby.
Take care, buddy.
Talk for you here as well. Sports Hangover wraps it up next, starting out in New Orleans. Welcome to No Wake Outfitters, located in Metairie, just east of Causeway Boulevard, your one-stop fly shop, kayak, and sportsman outfitters. You can check out our new kayak demos and our new pool and sea casting demonstrations. We have a new selection of functional and comfortable apparel from your favorite brands for the cooler weather. And our dedicated staff is here and ready to provide you with the knowledge to make an informed purchase. Come on in to check out some of our exclusive brands, such as Rugged Road, Turtle Box, Orvis, New Canoe, Old Town, and oh yeah, New Canoe 2022 kayaks are now 20% off. No Wake Outfitters, 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie.
Rev Business is connecting Louisiana companies across 11 parishes, backed by 85 years of service. Our seamless all-fiber network is keeping businesses up and running with speeds for every need, like managing point-of-sale systems, making calls remotely, and connecting multiple offices. Make the switch today to Rev Business and experience solutions that deliver and service that's uniquely homegrown. Visit letsrev.biz to get started. Rev Business.
Bow to Stern Services, your one-stop shop for marine services. We sell and service new and reconditioned starters, pumps, engine controls, and deck winches. Bow to Stern also designs and sells custom hydraulic steering systems and repairs and sells hydraulic components and cylinders. Bow to Stern Services, located at 119 Capitol Boulevard, Houma. Call 985-876-9915. That's 985-876-9915.
Since 1954, Terrebonne General has been a beacon of health and hope in our community. As we mark 7 decades of dedication to your well-being, Terrebonne General Health System remains committed to advancing healthcare, improving lives, and expanding our services to meet your evolving needs. In celebrating our past, we look forward to a future filled with promise and progress. Your health is our legacy. To discover more, visit tghealthsystem.com.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Dave Darvinham parting ways as... LeBron, 6 head coach, has fired 4 rings. There you go. Right, you got to like that. As Adrian Wojnarowski was asked, is this something that LeBron wanted?
I don't think this was a LeBron James decision or issue. Now, listen, any star player with any organization can speak up and say, hey, this is the coach I want. I want him to be here. That's true, not just with the Lakers, but anywhere. You seldom hear that anymore in the NBA. Listen, Rob Pelinka, Jeannie Buss, you know, they have, you look back to Frank Vogel, that was not a LeBron James hire. And certainly Darvinham was a coach that initially there was a lot of optimism around that relationship. But certainly this is a situation where I think the Lakers, they thought that they had better talent than the results produced. There's some certainly who might disagree with that, but they made the decision on Darvinham.
So there you go. As to who's going to be, perhaps, next head coach.
That Laker job is open, and they'll start identifying candidates. You can expect names like Mike Budenholzer, who won a championship in Milwaukee, perhaps the most accomplished coach available on the market, and certainly there will be other candidates. The Lakers are still the Lakers, and they have the opportunity this summer to really improve this team. They've got 3 picks that they can use in trades. And, you know, Darvinham, his successor, will be the beneficiary of what's expected to be a summer where the Lakers can really upgrade this roster around Anthony Davis and presumably, if and when they sign him back, of course, LeBron James.
There you go. Now, one of the things that I did point it out, and I played a little bit ago too, Woj, about 30 minutes later in NBA Today, mentioned, you know, J.J. Redick being, Kenny Atkinson being part of that as well. He also said, look at James Borrego. Why I bring that up? Well, that name should sound familiar for your Pels fan. He is an assistant coach on Willie Green's staff, and he is the offensive guy. He's the guy that they brought in this past season to help change the offense. Now, it's widely known he wants to be a head coach again. So, obviously, if they do interview him, he'll be interviewed. If he gets an opportunity, he would take it, no doubt about it. But it's going to be interesting just to see this offseason as to what the differences will be and how you structure maybe even Willie's coaching staff depending on the players that you do make in moves. So, anyway, I brought it up. It's obviously a big story because it is the Lakers. It has cascading effects on how everybody else is going to approach it and things tonight. Same thing with the Clippers. If they lose tonight, Paul George could be available. He's a free agent. Kawhi Leonard is out for game 6. He still has knee issues. Could they be blowing up that team again? I go back to what Will Guillory and I talked about. I know there's a lot of Pels fans that say, hey, throw money at it. Spend, spend, spend. The top 10 teams in the NBA salary-wise. Golden State. Eliminated. Number 2, the Clippers. They're down 3-2. Phoenix, number 3, eliminated. Boston, 4, still going. Milwaukee, the 5th highest salary, eliminated. Denver, 6. Miami, 7th highest salary, eliminated. Lakers, 8, eliminated. Pelicans, 9, eliminated. Philadelphia, 10, eliminated. It's not about the money. It's about the fit and getting the right players and the right system and in building your talent. Got to start focusing more on this draft. That's how I view it. That's just me. Anyway,
Thanks for tuning us in. Appreciate Hour 1 sponsors, No Wake Outfitters, Hour 2, Chris's Paving. More importantly, you guys for tuning us in. Thank you, buddy. We'll see you on Monday. Up next, Matt Muscillin after further review on ESPN New Orleans.
Attention contractors and do-it-yourselfers. You need to know Mayhew Building Products. Yeah, Mayhew Building Products is a